We may now listen to the Lord may enable us. Consider words you will find in the chapter read. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24. And we can read just now verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And at the beginning of this chapter, we know where the Saviour spoke. The words of this whole chapter, and also to whom the Lord spoke the words. As we read that he sat on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Now, of course, when the Lord spoke words to the disciples, certain questions arose in their minds. And of course, the disciples were wise enough to go to himself and ask himself, for an answer to the questions that arose in their minds. "Tell us," they say, "when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Now, as far as this chapter is concerned, from verse 4 of the chapter to the end of it, is the answer that the Saviour gave to the questions they put to him. And what a wonder to get an answer so speedily. Aye. Well, they got it. And of course, what gave rise to the questions was what he was telling them with regard to the temple in Jerusalem, which was destined to be destroyed, not one stone left upon the other. And then, of course, his own coming to judge the world, the coming of the Son of Man. And as far as the text, we hope that the Lord will lead us to say a word on is concerned. The Saviour is speaking there about the end, his own coming. And he is making a comparison to the days of Noah and his own coming, as the words read. But as the days of Noah were, so shall Also, the comparison is there, you see. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, we may, as the Lord may help us, consider a little concerning the days that the Saviour is speaking of here. That is the days of Noah. And then, of course, a little concerning the comparison. Now, as far as the days of Noah, of course, are concerned, and as far as his days are concerned, he is one of those in the Scriptures of truth that we can follow from the womb, as it were, to the grave. His birth, part of his life anyway, and his end. That is not true of everyone. There might be some things given about some, and other things we don't know about them. But as far as Noah is concerned, as it were, you can follow him from the womb to the grave. And just now, in seeking to consider, and these words, my dear friends, were given for the consideration of the disciples. And I mean just now, by the disciples of the Lord, the apostles, his immediate disciples. Aye. Now, as far as the days that are before us here are concerned, we're not dealing with the whole life of Noah at all. For if I remember correctly, Noah lived 950 years in this world. But as far as the days of Noah mentioned in our text are concerned, the Lord himself guided the disciples. And he's guiding us. What they were indeed to consider was the days which were before the flood. For us, the days that were before the flood. These are the days when, as it were, the ark was being built. Now, there are certain things worthy of consideration as far as these days, which it seems, if we're speaking of years, if we take the days and speak of them as years, the figure that is accepted is of 120 years. And that's part, but a little part, of Noah's life. But there are certain things which the Saviour himself mentioned concerning these days And we can just look at them. And the first thing, they were days of blessings. That's the first thing. They were days of privileges. And of course, we're very much inclined to omit the blessings and the privileges and speak of them as dark days. Now, not in the least, thinking of the days of Noah, as that they weren't dark days, but they were bright days too, inasmuch as they were days of blessings and days of privileges. And if this world is to be bright for you and for me, you'll acknowledge that, and you'll acknowledge it to the Lord. Now, the first thing, the blessings, and they're here numbered by the Savior. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking. In other words, they were days which should give contentment to all living. You remember what the apostle says about godliness with contentment. And if you and I are given to discontentment, you should search your godliness. Godliness, he says, with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is clear that we won't carry anything with out of this world. And having, he says, food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, wasn't there enough, as the days of Noah described by the Savior here, wasn't there enough for them, for that generation, to be content, inasmuch as they had plenty to eat, they had plenty to drink. And we're all aware that that is not so in other places. And indeed it wasn't so in the life of the Savior himself. For 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't break bread. And the eye of the devil was upon him. And of course, the devil came. Ah, he knows when to come. He came to the Savior when he was unhungered. So the Lord knew what it was to be hungry, but and also to be thirsty. For as you remember yourselves, this and these, one of the seven cries from Calvary, I thirst. I thirst. And what it meant for the one who created the wells to be thirsty. But he was thirsty. But as far as the generation of Noah was concerned, the days preceding the flood, they didn't know what it was to be thirsty. And neither did they know what it was to hunger. The next blessing that he mentions here is, they were mine, and given in marriage. Aye. There's plenty to be said about marriage. Enough. But I'm not going into that just now. But all that I'm going to say, this is something that the Lord himself ordained. And he ordained this for the benefit of man. Isn't that implied? Isn't that, as it were, implied in the ordination of marriage? In the word that we meet within the scriptures, a helpmeet. A helpmeet. And he gave the helpmeet to the man. Now these are the blessings. The blessings. Food and drink. And marriage. But now we come to the privileges. And the privileges indeed were what a privilege it was to have Noah himself among them. For many reasons, we can gather from the scripture. This was a man, of course. Even his very name, given to this man, as it were, had a meaning for the Church of God in the world. And you know that the meaning of the name Noah means comfort. Aye. Now as far as Noah was concerned, the Lord, you see, was dealing with this man and dealing with the generation that is here the generation before the flood. He was dealing with that generation indeed through this man. And let us, my dear friends, take to heart that this is the order of heaven, not to be played with or trifled with. That is to say, the Lord dealing with a generation through men. And he's not dealing with a generation through every man. But he was speaking to generations through men. And I better try and get the text that comes before my mind. Here it is. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now there's the Lord, you see, speaking to the fathers of the Jews, to whom the apostle wrote his epistle. And that was that was for many generations the Lord speaking through to generations through men. And he spoke as the apostle himself was saying. We're reading. Then came he spoke in the last days to us by Jesus, by his Son. And in New Testament times, he spoke by his Son, and yet he is speaking to men and to generations through men still. And that is to say, what was the purpose of choosing apostles? Here was the Savior choosing men to speak to generations. And following upon the apostles, isn't that what we mean by the ministry? Right. Isn't that what the ministry means? Not for prestige and vain glory that you cannot bear. That's not the purpose. That's carnality of a dangerous kind. But as far as the generation of Noah was concerned, the Lord was using this man to speak to that generation. And when he spoke, when Noah had to speak to the generation, He didn't take this upon himself without knowing what he was to speak. And what he was also to do. And we find, when we look at the life of Noah, in the early pages of the scriptures, the Lord dealt with Noah himself first. And he was to deal with the generation through Noah. There's order, you see, in everything that the Lord does. And we read there, just one verse. That the word of the Lord came to Noah with respect to what he was to do, and came first of all in the form of a command. And if the Lord comes to you in the form of a command, I hope you'll be able to understand it, and myself along with you. And that's, of course, a subject in itself. Make thee, he says, an ark of gopher wood, and so on. That's what he was commanded to do. But there's more than that, you see, in connection with Noah. We read of Noah as in the writings of Peter. We read of Noah as a preacher of righteousness. Are you seeing now the bright side of Noah's days? Never mind the darkness just now, will come to it. And I hope you won't find yourself in that darkness this night. And if you will, flee from the wrath to come. That's my warning, scriptural warning. And I hope, in as much as it's scriptural, it's sincere. Because without sincerity, all is in vain. Everything. Now, see the man that was raised, and he is referred to in New Testament language as a preacher of righteousness. No. And being, you see, raised up by the Lord as a preacher of righteousness, Noah came from the Lord himself. And let us, my dear friends, remember this. And let us remember that preachers must come from the Lord, and from nowhere else. And this weighs heavily on my mind, as I know, according to the course of nature, my days are numbered in this world. Let us realize that men of stamp must come from the Lord of heaven. Whatever other qualifications, this is the necessary one. This is the necessary one. And I don't know why I'm led to this tonight, but this is what I was led to since I got an inkling that I would try to help one of your elders for this Sabbath. And as far as the Lord would enable me. And I would like to help elders. And I hope that I pray for elders. And that I hope that I pray for elders to be spared in this church. And the elders know perfectly well that I'm not trying to flatter them. I'm not. But the elders that go here and there and long distances and so on, trying to open the book, as we say, they are to be prized indeed. And these words were, as it were, coming into my what am I going to say to the people of St. Jude's? That's a concern from me from every hour of the day. One of the marvels of my life that I'm able to say a word yet. That's a wonder to me. But Noah, you see, was a man raised up. And raised up by the Lord, inasmuch as we find, as I mentioned, in New Testament language, Noah as a preacher of righteousness. Okay. Now, what is a preacher of righteousness? Well, friend, broadly speaking, Noah was to preach that which the Lord gave him. Right? And as the Lord spoke to him, and therefore, if preachers are from the Lord, they must give the mind of the Lord. And the mind of the Lord is contained in the Scriptures of truth. Never mind about your truth coming to you. I'm speaking to Snow, friend. I'm speaking of Noah as a preacher of righteousness. What was he to preach? And what is the preacher of righteousness to preach? Well, there are two matters. The danger of a godless life, that is one thing. The danger of a Christless life, that's one thing. And where is the danger? The danger is there, friend. This is following you in a Christless state.
You're in danger all along, all the time. Whether you're walking, whether you're sleeping, whether you're awake or whether you're sleeping, even the rest of the night, when you lay your head on the pillow, you're still in danger. That is one thing. Now let me take an example. We have Noah as a preacher of righteousness. Bringing before the generation the danger. And take this now, and an example from the New Testament. And can you not see it? Can you not see and hear from the lips of the preacher, as it were, the prince of them, Spurgeon himself was known as the prince of preachers. Well, we're not going to take that from the man. Far, far from it. But I'm sure that Spurgeon wouldn't argue. He would confer that title on the Apostle Paul, which was given to himself as being the Prince of Preachers. And how did he handle? How did he handle the danger that the sinners and every sinner, young or old, is exposed every moment of the day and of the night? Knowing, said the servant of the Lord, knowing the terror of the Lord. This man knew what he was talking about. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we, he says, persuade men. We pray you. And there's an indication that the Apostle Paul, that Christ was using him to deal with men. We pray you in Christ's stead. He is no more in the world as to his physical presence. Oh, he is. And blessed be his name that he is in the world. Although his physical presence is not here. Lo, I am with you always. But he is no more in the world. But I pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Are you seeing now Are you seeing now the danger you're exposed to? Every mother's son and daughter, without exception, whether you're born in the house of Abraham or otherwise, whether you're a Jew or a Greek, that is a Gentile, the danger is there. And this is implied in the name that is given to Noah as a preacher of righteousness. And this, my dear friend, should weigh heavily upon our hearts. This is what takes some of us down, man, and keeps us low. And the Lord in His wisdom keeps us low. We might be rebelling against Him, being downcast. I've reached the stage that I'm thanking the Lord at times that He's kept me low. Right? But here's one. What of the child of your womb? What of the sons of your loins? On the broad way to everlasting destruction. Are you hiding this from them? Are ministers hiding this from the generation? If they are, friend, they may speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but there'll be nothing at the last. Nothing. And of course, Noah didn't hide. Noah didn't hide from the generation. What was to come? The Lord gave it. To know what was to come and how what he was to bring upon that generation. And that is the destruction of sinners. And friend, oh, don't consider me harsh. I feel a trembling in my breast when I even read privately to myself. When I read of a lost eternity and falling into it, I feel a tremor in my heart. And I'm sure they are here this night that can follow that. The danger of the generation, the generation in which we're living, the generation in which we take upon ourselves that the Lord is speaking through us to the generation. That's a standing friend. And well might we say, and we do say it, who is sufficient for these things? Now, on the other hand, a preacher of righteousness is a man that leads the people to safety, where they can be secure. And of course, a preacher of righteousness is, of course, a preacher of Christ. That's the subject. And of course, the Lord was dealing and speaking to the antediluvians. In commanding Noah, make thee an ark. And therefore, of course, the ark itself was a type of Christ. And the ark was, it was a place of safety. It was a place of security. And it was a place promised as security. And what was promised was fulfilled. But the ark was there. The warning, the danger was sounding in their ears. But they had only to look. That only to look. And the ark was in building. And of course, it must be a look still. Whether it be in type or otherwise, it must be a look. And look to what the Lord has provided. And look in the Bible is the equivalent of faith or belief. So that the security was before their eyes, just as the Israelites, when they brought the plagues upon themselves, when they brought the plagues upon themselves by their sins. There are plagues in this generation. In my young days that I didn't hear at all, I didn't know what they were. Oh, I'm not going into them. I'm not going into the plagues. And young man and young woman, take care of yourself in this adulterous generation. And we need all to take care of ourselves and cast ourselves upon the care of the Lord. But what have you got there? What have you got there? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, there's a look. There's a look. And one look would do it. You might be saying, I cannot speak of much of fellowship with the Lord. My dear friend, it doesn't take a long time to look. But a look will take in an eternal blessing to your soul. One look. Aye. And the Lord, of course, uses himself. So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aye. The Savior, the blessed Savior. His mouth is most sweet. He's altogether lovely. And this is part of the sweetness and the loveliness of his mouth, that he hides nothing. He doesn't hide the danger from sinners. Neither does he hide for them the covet from the storm or from the tempest, and the hiding place from the storm, and that of course is himself. A man shall be. I know that the man is the man Christ Jesus, and therefore these are the two subjects indeed with which the preacher of righteousness has to do. The danger of falling Christless into the hands of the living God. That's what you need for eternity, friend. And nothing else but that. Nothing else but that. You might go to the doctor for tablets and so on. They might have their uses. I often think of the sweet little man they had yonder in Gale. My heart goes often to that man. The soul is in glory now. Tommy MacLeod, as he was known. He went to the doctor. But the servant of the Lord, his minister, it's not, he says, a bottle of medicine that you need. And his minister, it's only, he said, the Lord. The minister was unaware of him being at the doctor. But the Lord directed the servant to speak to that man of his need, of his danger and of his need, being a preacher of righteousness. And of course the result was that Mr. Thomas became an eminent elder that left a fragrance behind him in the place that he dwelt. These are the two things, the danger and the security. The ark is there before their eyes. But let us remember, my dear friend, there was an entrance into the ark. Aye. It wasn't enough to see it in building. There must be an entrance. And so it is. There must be an entrance into Christ. and will not save outside Christ. We pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. And only in Christ you and I can be reconciled to God. And why? He is the reconciliation himself. As he is the righteousness himself. And he has made righteousness. Righteousness. As you read in the language of the apostle, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness. Righteousness. And therefore, how very necessary to preach Christ to sinners. And to preach Christ to the chief of sinners. And even the chief of sinners, as to a soul, is at this very moment in glory. Oh, what do you remember? I mentioned the Apostle Paul. This was it. This is what he exhorted, as it were. This what he left in writing for Timothy, whom he thought a lot of. And he thought a lot of him because he was worthy of it. He knew the man that he was loving. Aye. And this is what he left to him. This he says. This is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world. To save sinners. Take courage, sinner. And let these words. Give you as it were an encouragement. To set your eyes and set your heart on Jesus of Nazareth. And if you do, I'll tell you on its own authority, you'll succeed. In this way, Christ will not refuse you. Whosoever cometh unto me shall in no wise be cast out. Was it? I can't get the name of the man. I think he was indeed in the city of Glasgow itself. Was it James Durrer? On his deathbed. And several brethren were around his deathbed. And this is what he was leaning on. He asked his brethren, he said, can I venture on eternity? On these words, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And of course, his brethren, as with the voice of one man, you can rest your eternal salvation on these words. And so can you. And I, by the blessing of God, the Holy Spirit. But I must leave it there. May the Lord bless his word to us. O holy and ever blessed one, bless to us our meeting together on this occasion. Our time is speedily passing. And with the passing of days, with the passing of Sabbaths, drawing us near to the eternal world of spirits. O Lord, take care of us. Be our God and guide even unto death. And may thy poor people, in difficult circumstance, some of them in this world, And whatever our circumstance, we need thyself as our guide, and to receive us at the end into that place of which thy servant spoke, having been guided by the Lord. Thou with thy counsel while I live, wilt me conduct and guide unto thy glory afterward. Receive me to abide. Bless thy word in our midst and throughout the world. For Jesus' sake, amen.